This week on the Time Bat Show,
esports.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Time Bat Show, episode number 156. I actually don't know the episode number. I'm one of your hosts, Time Aces.
I'm your other host, Bat Snacks.
And it's been a hot minute since we've done the show.
Yeah.
We skipped it, kind of skipped it last week. But we had an episode on Monday, a very special episode, where you were here in town and we had a guest on the show. I had a lot of fun with that episode. I don't know about you.
Yeah, I really had fun doing it.
I thought it was really great. The trivia was really great, too, because it was like a flashback of all our Time Bat shows in the past, you know?
Yeah. I know you don't watch The Bachelor, but
I don't usually watch The Bachelor.
So this is like the worst tangent ever, but during The Bachelor, they always have like an episode where they go back and they like reminisce about, remember when Jeremy and like Bill the Bogon had a big fight and they took their shirts off and screamed at each other.
Yeah, that was the last episode.
Yeah, they always do like two catch-up episodes.
Which was perfect, though, because it wasn't just a flashback. It was we're talking about the flashbacks as we're presented with them. So, yeah, I thought it was really fun. I had a good time. And a lot of the stuff I completely forgot had actually happened on the show. Yeah. Because we've done 150 whatever of these. So anyway, so I wanted to just thank our guest Smellboard for coming on. That was really fun. So
yeah,
thank
that
you
was
for
cool.
That. Listen to that episode if you haven't yet, folks. It's really fun. What's going on today? We're back in the regular swing of things now, right? The old podcast, the old weekly episode now, you know.
Regular episode.
Yeah.
Back to normal.
Back to normal. Anything exciting happen over the past week and a half that you want to share? Not really.
I mean, I don't really like sharing things. In my personal life, I did have a job interview yesterday, which was cool.
That's
I don't mind
cool.
like just yeah, saying yeah. that I did it.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I hope you get this job. I don't know what it is. Well, I do, but I'm pretending that I don't know.
Yeah.
know what it is. That'd be cool. Yeah, that'd be cool. Anyway, there's a couple things. I don't know. The internet has been kind of boring lately. Like, there's not a whole lot going on in the world. I think, you know, with October, everyone's talking about Halloween.
Yeah.
What do you think, like, the costume is going to be this year? Because every year there's, like, a costume, you know what mm-hmm. I mean? This year, I really don't know what it is. And the reason is because I think there's so much pop culture this year that I can't clearly define, oh, everyone's going to be blah, blah, blah for Halloween.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like back in 2008, when The Dark Knight came out,
you could
pretty much know everyone's going to be the Joker, right? Everybody, yeah. you just knew, right? When the first Avengers movie came out, you know everyone's going to be an Avenger. Easy, fine. This year, you got the last Avengers movie came out, so that's possible. You got a new Star Wars movie coming out in like 2 months, so that's possible. You got that stupid Joker movie that just came out, that's Halloween fodder right there if I ever saw one. Mm-hmm. And then, I mean, there's more than that. Like, you know, there's all the TV shows that people love, you know, like there's plenty of stuff. Speaking of which, I saw the Joker movie. I'll review it after, like a little later, but
I haven't seen it yet. So wait till I see it, please. I'm actually excited about it.
You don't want me
it.
To tell you if it was good or bad?
Did you like it?
I thought it was a lot better than I thought it was going to be.
Okay, that's helps
that's all,
my optimism.
That's all I'll say about the movie.
Okay.
It wasn't bad. I don't know if I'd call it great, but it was.
Was it better than Suicide Squad?
Yes, absolutely, 100% better than Suicide. It was probably the best DC movie I've seen in a while.
That's good to hear. Yeah. They've had a rough past couple years,
that's not really saying a lot, but it's leaps and bounds better than most other DC movies I've seen in the past like 5 years. So. It's definitely worth seeing. But again, who do you think? What do you think the costume's going to be this year?
Well, speaking of DC and costumes, isn't it weird how when Suicide Squad came out, everybody hated it. No one liked that movie, even when it came out. Yeah. But everybody dressed up as Harley Quinn.
Anyway, yeah, that's so weird to me, right?
Yeah, like it wasn't a good movie. People hated it, but everybody still dressed up.
It came and went, and then people were like, "Well, that movie sucked, but I'm going to be Harlequin for Halloween." And you're like, "Why? Why are you doing this?" You know what this reminds me of? And this is going to piss a lot of people off. When video games come out, people dress like the characters that are in the game. But now people are starting to dress like the characters, like cosplay, right? It's a big thing.
Right.
Now people are starting to dress like characters from video games that aren't even out yet. You don't even know if you like the freaking game and you're dressing as this character. Like, how stupid is that? Like, you're just dressing up for no reason at all.
Yeah, that is really stupid. I've seen this, so dumb. You know? There's a good example. I think during the Mortal Kombat 11 or whatever number they're on right now, during the release event, they had a cosplay contest.
But or like, Mortal Kombat 11.
Yeah, but like the game, no one had played it yet. So they were just dressing up as characters that I guess could be in it.
Like, I don't know if I even like this character yet, but yeah. I'll dress up as him. Like, I just don't see the point of that. It seems weird. But I think this is the same thing with Suicide Squad. It's like, yeah, I don't really like this movie. Like, maybe it's really shitty, but I like the dress up is fun. You know, maybe that's why people do it, because it's fun to dress up. But
yeah,
I don't know. I don't want to dress up as something that belongs to something I disliked. That's kind of dumb to me.
I mean, you can like Harley Quinn as a character. I mean, she didn't like just begin as a character in Suicide Squad.
I would dress up as, like, I'm not going to dress up as Harley Quinn, obviously, but
if you really want to.
If I was going to, I would dress up as original Batman the Animated Series Harley Quinn.
You know? Yeah.
Duh. You know, I'm not going to do Suicide Squad Harley Quinn, because that just tells other people that, oh, yeah, you like the stupid Harley Quinn, you know?
Yeah.
Like, you like that dumb movie. Whereas if I dressed up like the animated series Harley Quinn, people would be like, I respect what you're doing here with your, you know, with your costume. You know what I mean?
Do you have a Halloween costume planned?
No, I don't. I mean, I have an idea, but
What's your idea? Share it, please.
Oh, it's so bad, though.
I'll tell you mine.
Okay. Have you seen the new Avengers movie?
No.
Okay. Well, it's not going to make any sense. But you know Thor, the long-haired guy with a hammer, right?
Yes.
Okay. In the new Avengers movie, and I'm going to spoil it, but you're not
going to. Whatever, dude.
You don't care. In the new Avengers movie, he gets really sad and, like, depressed. And he gets really fat. And he starts looking like Lebowski from The Big Lebowski, right? Mm-hmm. And my idea for a costume is just do that, you know?
Oh, be depressed Thor.
Be fat Thor, yeah. Just get like a fake belly. And I already have long hair. I can like braid it in like weird Thor ways. And then, you know, get a hammer, wear sweatpants.
Red cape, yeah.
No, he wears like common clothes.
Oh.
So it's even easier.
That would be a really funny costume, actually.
It's easy. You know, it's super easy. All you need to do is, I have long hair, so that works, and I just need a hammer, and then people will know who I am. It's like, oh, he's Fat Thor from the new Avengers movie. It's so easy. It's like a cop-out costume, but it's so easy.
You should totally do it, dude.
I don't have to, like, buy any fancy things. Like, all I have to do is find a hammer, which I'm sure I could find at, like, any, like, Party City or whatever, you know?
Yeah.
So, that's my idea. What is your idea?
I'm being Captain Picard for Halloween.
Oh, that's good, because you're bald now.
I can be at like a moment's notice.
At a moment's notice.
Yeah.
I feel like that's a pretty easy costume, too, because you just need the Star Trek uniform. You just need a red suit or whatever.
Yeah, and I did the Party City thing. I bought like a cheap Star Trek top from Party City, and I'm just going to wear it with black dress pants, and I'll be like,
and there you go.
Make it so. Engage. And then you
say, engage. Yes. Make it so a lot.
Yeah.
There you go. That's it. You know, it'd be a fun costume if, like, you dressed up, like, you had a group to do the Enterprise people, and the shitty thing about that would be, like, you would have, like, the easy costume, like, of the whole thing, like, you're just Picard, and then everyone, like, someone has to be, like, Worf and Data and, like, Geordi, you know, like,
someone has
all
to
these,
buy
like,
the fancy
complicated costumes where they have to, like, buy all this prosthetic stuff on their face, you know. And then you're just like, oh yeah.
I just shaved. Have to be a bald man.
I shaved my head, you know. Yeah. Like, but you already, you know, you already shaved your head recently, so it works out. That's a good idea, though. Did you hear about the new Picard series?
Yeah, I'm really excited about it.
Are you? I don't know. I don't really know anything about it other than it's coming out, and I'm going to watch it, but I don't know anything about it.
Yeah, I'm excited but really worried about it because the last Star Trek, I didn't...
Discovery?
Yeah, I didn't like it. I liked it at first, but...
I watched the first few episodes of that. Star Trek Discovery or whatever.
Yeah, I mean, they're exciting and all, but they're not Star Trek. Their Star Trek is like lighthearted, optimistic, kind of campy, and that show is like dark.
That's the thing about Star Trek that I don't like, and there's this like trend in media today that like they want to go like to the extremes, right, of like media. Yeah. Like if like a good example, we were just talking about this like with comic book movies, right? DC has gone like this really dark and edgy kind of place, and Marvel has gone this like lighthearted, fun and campy kind of place, and it's like those are the two extremes they've chosen. But then lately it seems like a lot of places are like trying to follow that, but like they're gonna do the opposite, like for the sake of being opposite. So like Star Trek has always, like you said, has always been an optimistic show, you know, and now all of a sudden they're like, but let's, what if we made it dark and edgy? It's like, well, no, it's not Star Trek anymore. If you make it dark and edgy, it's something else. It's like Battlestar Galactica or whatever. You know what I mean? So, I don't know. I just don't like, just stick with your lane, you know? Stick with what you do good. You don't need to be, you don't need to change your complete, like, theme of your show for, I don't know.
I think if you're going to remake something, you should do the things people liked about it. Not be like, what if we did everything different?
The opposite.
Just and then kept that's why, the name Star Trek.
And I think that's maybe why people didn't like it as much. I mean, I haven't watched a lot of it. I've watched the first three. But, yeah. Because they're probably expecting that, like, more lighthearted, optimistic Star Trek kind of show. Which is, I think, why people like Star Trek to begin with. Because there's so much depressing shows out there.
Yeah. Especially sci-fi.
Like. Especially sci-fi. Sci-fi is, like, mostly depressing. I feel like. But Star Trek has, like, always been, you know.
Yeah.
Oh, humanity will be okay. You know, we'll work together and stuff. You know?
My favorite Star Treks all came out when I was kind of too young to be into them. But I liked watching the Star Treks as an adult because they have a very, like, public radio, public library, like kind of feel to them.
Yeah, there's kind of like a good message behind them.
Yeah,
they're wholesome, you know.
Yeah,
a public radio kind of thing. Yeah, no, I know exactly what you're talking about.
Like they're like, slightly educational. They they have a good message.
Yeah, they're like educational, but not in like an obvious. They're not in like an intentionally educational way. Yeah. They're like, oh, this is healthy for you to consume. You know, you don't feel gross after watching an episode of Star Trek. Yeah. You feel like, I think I might have learned something out of that show, you know?
Yeah. They have this weird idea of, like, the way humanity is going to be in the future.
It's very like, optimistic.
So everybody reads Sherlock Holmes novels and, like, plays the piano.
Which sounds fantastic, doesn't it?
Yeah, like no one has phones or anything. They just spend their time like listening to Mozart and reading
Sherlock Holmes.
That's all anybody does.
God, I wish that was really the future. But look at what we have now. We have this Twitter hellscape of a marketing corporate future. We're going the cyberpunk route. We're not going the Star Trek route, I think, as a society. Because how cool would it be if everyone, you know, listen to classical music and read Sherlock Holmes. I think, you know, the world would probably be a better place. But, you know, the other thing about, like, media now, and we talked this a little bit last episode, is, like, people like to kind of rub in the edgy, gross media sometimes. They like to, like, live in it, you know what I mean? They like to get into it. And that's all well and good, but sometimes you just need something wholesome and refreshing, like Star Trek. But I feel like there's not a whole lot of that out there anymore, you know, like, because everything is trying to be dark and edgy, like most things, it feels like it. And the thing that's not dark and edgy right now is superhero movies. And what I mean by superhero movies is I mean Marvel movies, obviously.
Marvel movies.
And I think that's why people like them so much, is because, like, everything else is edgy and dark and depressing except these. But, like, why is that the only thing that's allowed to be wholesome, you know? Like, that doesn't make sense to me. Like, why don't we have more wholesome stuff?
Like, maybe because Disney owns the rights to wholesomeness, it won't let anybody else do it. I don't know.
I mean, you're not wrong. That's really sad, but you're not really wrong. They, like, have a trademark on wholesome media.
Yeah.
They do. That's so depressing. Like, that in and of itself is the plot of one of these depressing movies.
Yeah.
But it's true.
It's like, there could be this little studio somewhere in Ohio, and, like, 10 different people, they try to make this really wholesome movie about a mouse, and Disney's like, sorry, you can't do that. And they're like, wait, we didn't use any of your characters, we didn't use any of your copyrighted material, we're okay to do this. And they're like, no, you can't do it, because only we can make wholesome movies.
And they're like, well, what if we did it? And they're like, we'll sue you. For what? We'll figure it out. We'll find a way. And they would. That's the thing. Like, they could come up with something to sue them over. I don't know what it would be, but they could figure, like, they could have their lawyers do it, you know?
Yeah.
They have the copyright on wholesomeness. Speaking of wholesomeness, you saw Toy Story 4 recently. We should talk about that.
Yeah.
Tell me about it. Because I told you last episode I cried during Toy Story 4. It was a very emotional movie for me. How did you feel? As a fan of the series, your most of your life, right?
Yeah.
How did you feel about
Toy Story 4? It's one of my favorite movie series. Yeah. So I cried a lot during that movie. Like, a lot.
It was so good, right?
I don't know how they make an animated show have emotions like that.
Me neither.
Like, I just cannot wrap my head around that the way that movie made me feel.
I don't know, man. It's sad to me that, like, I'm more emotional of a bunch of toys than I am, like, most other movies I've ever seen.
Okay, yeah. If Toy Story was about real people, even if Disney made it, I'm pretty sure I wouldn't feel as powerfully.
But, like, it's, I don't know what they do, but they, I don't know, they're good at it. They know what they're doing over there at Pixar. It was so good, though. I cried a lot during that movie. It was very sad.
All the characters were super well developed and had very clear, like, human motivations for their actions.
Yeah. Even, like, the bad people were, like, you could see the good in them, and then there's, like, a moment where they get, like, redemption, and I was like, oh, you know? Oh, I love that movie. It was good.
Just that was
probably my
good.
Favorite. It was my favorite. I think it's my favorite movie this year so far, for sure.
Yeah. As far as the look of Toy Story 4, there were, like, darker environments in general. Mm-hmm. I noticed, like, so if you go back and watch Toy Story 1 and then watch Toy Story 4, you can see, like, a dramatic change in how good they are at animation.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
And Toy Story 4, like, all the reflections and little, like, lights and tiny things like that. Like, you can tell every scene in that movie was somebody's, like, baby for months.
Yeah. It's really cool, and it's amazingly well done. I've only seen it once, but I'm kind of waiting for them to do, like, the 4-pack Toy Story Blu-ray edition, so I just buy all of them, you know what I mean? Because I've bought the first one a couple times, but I'm definitely going to get it because I want to own all the Toy Story movies. It's crazy to me how that series has consistently been so good. Like, there's not been a bad Toy Story movie, and they've made 4 of them.
Yeah.
I don't think I can think of another franchise in film that has the track record that Toy Story does. Like, can you?
I can think of ones with 3, but what? 4 is what?
Star Wars?
Star Wars, maybe Indiana Jones. That's drawn blank.
That's it. Those are the 2. Those are the only ones I thought of.
But even then, like, they didn't make it to 4.
No. Like, you can't really make it to 4 without fucking up. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, you get your good trilogy and you're like, wow, those were great. And then you're like, let's make a 4. And everyone's like, no, don't make a 4th. Like, the 4th is always the worst one. Yeah. You know? So going into Toy Story 4, I was like, this is going to be a clunker. You know, but it wasn't. I liked it better than 3. You know what I mean? Like,
it's crazy. Might have liked it better than 1. It was.
I did like it better.
So good.
I like 1. 1 is definitely my favorite. It might be nostalgia, but I'm gonna go back and watch them all. I watched 1 like 6 months ago, and it holds up really well. And the thing I like about 1 is it's a very self-contained story, and I think it's the funniest because it's, like, the freshest. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And the thing I like about one more than I like about any of the other ones is the Woody Buzz dynamic in one is incredibly amazing. And the reason it's amazing is because Buzz still thinks he's a spaceman and not a toy. And that dynamic is just hilarious. It's just so funny. And 2, 3, and 4, they don't really have that dynamic anymore. They have a different dynamic. It's equally funny. It's similarly funny, but I just don't think it can get as funny as it is in 1. That being said, I think 2 and 3 and 4 are probably more emotional movies.
Yeah.
In general.
Yeah. I think Buzz thinking he's a spaceman, the effect that has on Woody, like the way it just drives him mad. Completely insane is one of the funniest things ever in movies.
It's probably my favorite like two character dynamic in any movie. Like those two in Toy Story 1 is just so funny. And I messaged you this week because we were talking about Toy Story 4 on Twitter, and I was like, in Toy Story 4, Woody is a very different person than he is in Toy Story 1. Like, he's nice, he's kind, he wants to help toys find owners and help children, like, get over their feelings and stuff. You know what I mean? Like, he wants to, like, do good. And in Toy Story 1, he's just, like, a selfish asshole that only cares about his domain, you know what I mean, and Andy. Yeah. And that's, like, it, right? And it's, like, it's funny because that itself is just a really funny, like that personality is just really funny to me, like his assholeness. And he doesn't think he's an asshole. He thinks he's like a normal person. And I relate to that Woody like so much because like I don't think I'm an asshole, but I do things like Woody does. And I'm like sarcastic and mean-spirited sometimes, just like Woody in Toy Story 1. And watching the Toy Story series, as he develops as a character and gets like more compassionate, I thought to myself, like, man, if Woody starts out like this in Toy Story 1 and gets here in Toy Story 4, then surely I can start out there and get, you know, to nice Woody in Toy Story 4. So it's like the arc is like following a trajectory I want my life to go. You know what I mean? If that makes sense.
Woody is like cool. For sure your spirit being.
He is. I love Woody though. Yeah, he's great. Anyway, me too. Toy Story 4. If you haven't seen it, go see the freaking movie. It's so good.
So good.
What's your favorite Toy Story? Really quick. Mine's 1, but what's yours?
Yeah, 1 and then 4 probably.
1 and then 4. So 4 is better than 2 and 3 for you, huh?
Yeah.
That's really good. I don't know where I am. I'm definitely 1 is first. I think 2 and 4 might be tied, and then 3 is last. I like 3, but I think 2 and 4. There's really funny parts of 2 as well, you know?
Mm-hmm.
There's funny parts of the whole series. I just want to watch all the Toy Story movies back to back now. You know what they should do? And I'm surprised Disney hasn't done this because it's like free money for them. They should remaster Toy Story 1. And when I say remaster, I mean like reanimate it.
Yeah.
In the style of Toy Story 4. And yes, that would take time and money, but like they don't have to write any scripts. They don't have to do any new voice acting.
Yeah.
Like, just redo it. You know what I mean? And I would go out to that movie. I would go out to that in theaters. And you probably would. A lot of people would.
You know? Yeah, I for sure would. You know, people would take their kids. It'd make them a ton of money.
I would do that. I mean, they do it with Star Wars. Why can't they do it with Toy Story, you know?
They probably will, you know. But when the Toy Story 6 box set comes out, which I hope, you know, I really do. I want 2 more movies.
When they do that, then they'll... So it's like the Star Wars thing. Like, they'll get up to episode 5 or 6.
Yeah.
And then they'll be like... Or in Star Wars' case, it's 1, 2, and 3. And then they'll be like, all right, now it's time to redo the first 3 movies or whatever.
I think it's smart to either do it after 3 or after 6. Because, like we were saying, like, that 4th movie is... It can be cursed, or that 7th movie, that can be cursed. Yeah. Like Indiana Jones, 3 great movies, and then the 4th movie, you have Shia LaBeouf.
What is he doing in here? Like, why are you here, Shia? You had a good run, but don't do this. Why are you doing that?
Yeah, Star Wars, you got 3 great movies, and in the 4th movie, you got Jar Jar Binks. There he is.
It's like, oh no, what are you doing? It's like one character introduced in these movies that just completely ruins it. Like, the story of episode 1 is pretty good, right? It's like Anakin and Qui-Gon Jinn and Obi-Wan is like, that's dope. I want to see these guys. And then Jar Jar Binks is just there. And you're like, what is this? What is this movie about anymore? And then like they go pod racing. You're like, why are we pod racing? What does this have anything to do with anything? And then it's the same with Indiana Jones 4. It's like, oh, Indiana Jones and Marion are coming back. Oh, that's a cool idea. And it's Russians. That's cool. And now Shia LaBeouf's in this movie for some reason. Like, why are you in this movie? Like, what does this have to do with anything?
Yeah.
I think they're trying to, like, lead it. I think they're trying to, like, bridge the gap with the younger generations in those situations. Like, Jar Jar Binks was for the kids, you know?
Yeah.
Shia LaBeouf's for the teenagers. You know what I mean? And
neither of them worked, like, at all. You know what I mean?
Yeah. You know what they should do?
What?
So, I think Toy Story 5, they have a good thing going, right? I feel like maybe they should get really confident. They should put in Jar Jar Binks and Shia LaBeouf.
As toys, though.
Yeah, as toys.
So, like, old toys that nobody wants because the movies are so bad.
Oh, dude, here's what they could do. You know, they own the rights to Star Wars. They could totally do this.
I know.
You put a literal Jar Jar Binks toy in Toy Story and everybody hates him.
Oh my god, that's great. And he's like really sad. Yeah. And then Woody is like, don't worry, someone will want you. And then they go on a quest to find the kid that loves Jar Jar Binks and give him the toy. And it's the same voice actor from episode
one.
Like, they get that guy who hasn't done anything since episode one. He's back as Jar Jar Binks.
Oh my god.
I'm not gonna lie to you, I hate Jar Jar Binks, but if Jar Jar Binks finds his family and his kid that loves him, I will bawl my eyes out.
Because
that scene.
He's irredeemable. No one should love him. Like,
right. But Woody is going to find him a family.
Yes.
And he's going to, like, hug this child. I'm tearing up just thinking about this. And I'm, like, I would cry my eyes out. I'd be like, oh, my God. Everyone hates Jar Jar Binks. But this fucking kid loves him. And they're perfect for each other. Oh, my God. Like, I'm, like, literally tearing up.
That's a very emotional premise.
It is. Yeah. I mean, that's kind of what happened in 4, right? There's, like, no spoilers, but there's, like, a bad person, and you're like, no one, these person is irredeemable, and then you know the scene I'm talking about.
Yeah.
I'm like,
But, like, you know? Jar Jar Binks is another level of irredeemable.
That's true. They could do it. If anyone can do it, it's fucking Pixar.
Yeah.
They could do it. I would watch that. I'd be all in for that movie. Toy Story 5 with Jar Jar Binks, yeah.
Yeah, and you also have a Shia LaBeouf, like, kid toy.
Action figure.
Yeah, action figure.
I think Disney owns the rights to Indiana Jones now, too.
So they could have an Indiana Jones doll, like, beat up the Shia LaBeouf doll. Be like, shut up, stop talking, you ruined my movies.
And it would be Harrison Ford, and Shia LaBeouf would be acted by Shia LaBeouf, like the voice actors. And then, And then he's, like, thrown in the trash. And then Woody finds him. Woody and Bo Peep, which that's like their new life. They like rescue lost toys and like place them in homes. You know, like they're on the road all the time.
Yeah.
You know,
like Goodwill threw them away. They're so bad.
Yes. So they go from town to town and they find toys in the trash and they try to reunite them with their families.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And you have to figure out how Buzz gets back in there somehow. Maybe they're on vacation or something. I don't know. They can figure it out. They can figure out how that works. But
yeah.
Toy Story 5. There you go.
Do you want to do a trivia question?
I would love to do a trivia question.
Okay. Your first category is going to be food.
Okay. I'm going to do 50-50 on this one.
Okay. Question is, marinara means what in Italian? Does it A, mean shepherd style? Does it B, mean peasant style? Does it C, mean sailor style? Or does it D, mean pirate style?
I have to say, wouldn't it be really cool if there was a fighting game with a character that had all these different styles of combat?
Like they're different stances.
Yeah. Like peasant style. Pirate style, like, what was it?
Sailor shepherd
style.
And shepherd
style. Yeah, wouldn't that be cool?
That would be
he's
really
like,
cool.
He's an Italian guy, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he has all these stances. I think I know the answer to this. I'm not sure. I'm going to still use 50-50. I'm not going to tell you what I think it is because you're going to screw me.
Yeah,
because
I'll screw you.
So, 50-50.
Okay, it is either shepherd style or sailor style.
Okay. I was pretty sure it was sailor style, and the only reason is because I'm half Italian. No, that's not the reason. I am half Italian, though. But the reason is because marina means ocean, like marine.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that would mean sailor in Italian. Like, it makes sense that that would be sailor style. So I'm going to go with sailor style, final answer.
Sailor is correct.
Yes.
And you're right. It was named after the marina, or I don't know how to say it in Italian, but that you had that
marina logic. Or whatever. I think it's marina. Well. Yeah.
Yeah.
Which begs the question, or should I say raises the question, why is marinara sauce named after a sailor? Like, that doesn't really make sense to me.
I was reading the Wikipedia page. This is how I got this. Like, I had one of those moments where I'm like, I need to know everything about pasta sauce. And
as you do sometimes.
Yeah. And I read that it's called sailor style because it was originally made for cooking seafood.
Okay.
Like, sailors would put it on shrimp and, like, squid and stuff.
Yeah, that sounds good, actually.
Yeah, it does.
So then it just kind of evolved out of that.
Yeah, and I don't think I've ever had seafood marinara. Usually when I've eat it, it's meatballs, like the American.
So have I. I think they do, like, mussels in marinara sometimes, which is weird. I don't really like mussels. But that's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It's also interesting because some shrimp you eat with, like, that cocktail sauce.
True, yeah.
That's very similar to, like, it's not really marinara, but it's a very similar flavor. Yeah. Like, it's tomato-based. There's a lot of garlic in there, oil, you know what I mean? Like, it's kind of cold marinara almost,
mm-hmm.
If you will. So, it's interesting. It's very interesting. We had a couple topics to talk about today.
Yes.
You had an interesting story that you brought to my attention right before we started the podcast.
What did I say?
The monkey thing.
The monkey experiment? Yeah. The
monkey thing.
So there was a thing in the news today. The headline was, "Game over. These monkeys just crushed humans at a computer game."
And sounds like a BuzzFeed article.
Yeah.
Game over.
These monkeys just crushed a human at a video game.
And what was the game?
My initial reaction was, no, they didn't. Like, it must not have been a very good game if monkeys were beating people.
Well, what was the game? Let's talk about the game.
So the way I understand it is that it's a square matching game.
Mm-hmm.
And if you match two squares, like, they look identical,
mm-hmm.
the game shows a picture of a triangle.
Okay.
And then you click the triangle and you win. Uh-huh. That's the whole game.
So match squares. You match them correctly, click the triangle, then win.
Yep.
Got it.
And what they found was that if they changed the game after people had played it a few times and made the triangle just appear right at the start, people wouldn't click it right away. They would still match the squares first.
And then click the triangle?
Yeah, but they wouldn't.
Even though they didn't have to do that.
Yeah. And I think I know why.
But the monkeys would?
Yeah, the monkeys would click the triangle right away.
Immediately, okay.
Yeah.
And so they're saying that monkeys are better at this game because they click the triangle first.
Yeah,
because
they figured out how to win faster. But okay. You know what? I really think it's stupider to click the triangle right away. Do you know why?
Because tell me.
If you've already had to work to get your reward, which is the triangle, right?
Right, yeah.
If someone just straight up offers you this free reward the beginning, that's bait. Someone's trying to deceive you. Yeah.
That's true. No, you're right. Something's up. That's a trap.
That's a trap.
Yeah. And so humans are just thinking through, like, oh.
That can't be right.
I've already proven that if I click these three squares first and then click the triangle, I win. So it's a matter of, do I want to take the risk and click the triangle and maybe blow it up?
Mm-hmm.
Or do I want to just click the squares and then click the triangle and then win?
Guaranteed victory.
Yeah. They're not... Yeah, this isn't a skill thing. Yeah. Like, this game wasn't timed, was it?
No.
Like, there's not a time limit on this stuff, right?
No.
So, like, who cares who does it first? Like, that is not a metric that matters in any way.
Yeah.
The metric is success rate, right?
Mm-hmm.
And humans have the same success rate as monkeys. We're just safer in getting to the solution because we don't want to accidentally break stuff.
Yeah.
That's stupid.
You know,
and some of these articles are like they extrapolate the weirdest stuff out of observations, I feel like. What were you going to say, though?
Yeah, I guess what the paper claims is that monkeys are more creative problem solvers because they're willing to like try new things or something. But I just don't think that's true.
I mean, this is not the thing that proves it.
Yeah.
This proves that humans are more careful. And it's also that humans are much better at understanding rules than monkeys are.
Yes.
Because monkeys clearly don't understand the rules of the game. If they're hitting the triangle whenever it comes up, they don't know the rules. They don't understand the rules because they don't care about the rules. The humans understand that the rule of the game is you hit three squares and you get a triangle. They've established that. They've recognized that pattern. They've recognized the game. They have it to play, and they've recognized this is what I need to do to get the victory condition and achieve. Whereas the monkeys don't even know there's a game. They just know that if they hit the triangle, something good will happen.
Yeah.
And they're dumber than humans because they're not even aware that they're playing a game.
Yeah.
Like, so if you don't even know you're playing a game, can you really be better at it than humans? And I would say no, you cannot.
Yeah. And they took this a step further. They said that even after they showed the humans a video of people pressing the triangle right away, of doing the different strategy, most people still didn't click the triangle. And you know what I think? That's like confirming that it's a trap.
Yeah, you're like, I mean? Click the triangle. It's fine. You'll win immediately.
Nothing bad will happen.
No, that's stupid. No, I'll do what I know. This proves that humans are smart, and they think things through, and they're careful, and they know they'd rather a sure thing that takes half a second longer than this, you know, other victory that might backfire in their face. You know,
yeah.
We're just smarter. We're smarter animals.
I wouldn't click the triangle right away anyway, but especially after you show me a video saying it's okay, like, I'm never clicking that thing.
Like, I'm going to do exactly the things that I do normally to win, and then I'll win. Like, there's no advantage to me beating the monkey in a speed test over who can click the frickin' triangle faster. Except this study, apparently. Apparently I'm going to get compared to monkeys if I don't click the triangle fast enough. I mean, they've just created this hypothetical, like, metric out of their ass. So, like, it doesn't even matter.
Yeah. Anyway, you have to be careful of these articles, though, that, like, have these wild claims that just...
I hate articles like this.
Yeah, me too.
So stupid. Speaking of, well, we're not really speaking of wild claims, but our Twitter bot, I don't know why this reminded me of it, but because we were talking about, like, monkeys. Oh, that's why. We were talking about stupid things that don't do anything, and our Twitter bot is, like, really off the rails right now. Our Time Bet Show account.
Yeah.
On Twitter, you've made him into a bot.
Yeah.
And it follows random people, and they follow back. And its timeline is just like a hellscape.
It's the worst thing I've ever seen.
We have like 1,000 followers, though, right?
Yeah. Well, I mean, which, congratulations. This is the first episode of the podcast where
we've made it.
Had 1,000 Twitter followers.
I mean, none of them are actually fans of the show.
But let me tell you what, dude.
But
those 1,000 followers, first of all, none of them are human. Second of all...
Well, I think like 5 of them are human.
Yeah, but less than 0.1%.
Yeah.
And they post the worst crap you can imagine.
We don't retweet any of that from the account, do we?
No.
Okay, good.
Of course not.
That would be bad.
Yeah.
Give me an example of something they post.
So the bot that I set up, it goes out and searches for Twitter bots that follow back and just follows them. And it doesn't discriminate who. It just goes and finds people that'll follow back. And somehow, it's managed to get, I think, like, half of our Twitter followers are Nigerian Twitter bots for some reason. Like, for some reason, we just got into the Nigerian Twitter bot community.
Somehow, we figured, we worked our way into there.
Yeah.
That's a fascinating study to, like... like, dissect how we got into the Nigerian Twitter bot arena. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't know. Anyway, it's like what you seeded with. But anyway, how are the Nigerian Twitter bots? How are they doing?
Well, a lot of them just post, like, follow me and I'll follow back. And they use, like, a million smileys and, like, arrows and all that.
Right.
There are some that will post, like, weird jokes that have, like, suspiciously many retweets because I don't think...
No one understands the joke.
First, I don't think the jokes were written by humans. Second, I don't think any humans retweeted it. So it's this weird, like, bot humor thing that's happening.
That's a very interesting concept, though, right? It's like, so, like, if they're all bots, because we hypothesize that all these bots are basically following each other to make it seem like they're really important so other people, like real people, follow them.
Yeah.
But mostly it's just bots.
Yeah.
So if I'm a bot and I'm programmed to, like, write really bad, well, not bad, but, like, I'm programmed to write jokes on Twitter that make no sense to humans, and all these bots retweet it, did the AI just invent, like, their own version of humor in a way?
Yeah. I mean, is that, like, AI stand-up comedy?
Does that count as humor? Like, does it? I feel like it does in a weird way. Right?
I mean, does it not? There are posts getting tens of thousands of retweets. None of them are from people. Like,
you know what would be really interesting?
Yeah.
So, like, you have a bot, right?
Yeah.
And it posts, let's say it posts 10 things a day.
Mm-hmm.
Some of its things are retweeted by other bots, some of them not as many. Like, they're all probably retweeted, but, like, different amounts for different posts.
Yeah.
Now, one out of those 10 posts is supposed to be humorous. Like, it's not humorous to humans, but the bot is trying for some humor.
Yes.
Okay? Now, is that post more retweeted by other bots? Right?
Oh, I see what you're saying.
If it were, then that kind of confirms that they have their own weird humor about them, or at least a way of signifying, like, popularity or, like, interest over a tweet. You know what I mean?
That's an extremely interesting point. You can take it in a different direction. Let's say that, you know, there's a Twitter bot. It tweets 10 things a day.
Yeah.
And one of those things is political. If that political tweet gets more retweets than the other tweets, does that mean that the bots care about that political issue?
Maybe. I don't know. Because
if you judge it by the same metrics you use to judge human posts, then you have to say that, yes, the bots then care more about the political tweet.
Which is so bizarre because the only way you could do it, like you said, is metrics. Like, human, you have to use the same metrics you're using on humans as you're using on bots.
It's only fair.
But it would stand to reason that the bots do actually care about politics in a weird way.
Yeah.
That maybe they don't really understand, but, like, they do, which doesn't make any sense to me at all. It's almost like this Twitter bot thing, because, like, it's so loose, right? And it's not really AI, but it kind of is in, like, a weird way. It almost reminds me of, like, an ant colony.
Mm-hmm.
Where, like, all the ants are dumb, but, like, together, they're smart. You know what I mean? Like, they do, like, not smart. They can do something crazy, like, if they all do it together. You know what I mean? And that's what it kind of seems like this Twitter bot is, like, it's trending towards, like, if enough Twitter bots are set up to do one task really well and they all help each other do it, then, like, suddenly it's, like, I don't know. And I feel like they can maybe even decide what the important tasks are individually, you know, and then the other bots will be like, I'll help you with that, you know?
Yeah.
It's wild. It's kind of wild. I don't know.
If you use, like, an evolution approach and you give each bot a fitness function where it's like, okay, if you get retweeted, that's good. That means you're winning.
So that's like survival of the fittest. Yes. Like, it's like a, yeah.
So you should keep doing this thing that's getting you more attention. It would be interesting to set something like that loose to see, like, what it learns to post.
Yeah, and it would be interesting to see because some of the retweets are going to be humans at first, but then near the end, it's going to be mostly bots retweeting.
Yeah.
So they're going to almost teach each other what's important.
To themselves.
To themselves. But they're originally basing it on what humans think is important.
Yeah.
But near the end, it's just what they think is important.
Yeah.
Like, it's going to be really weird. That's a really interesting, like, experiment.
Yeah.
I'd love to know more about that. Your Twitter bot, like, experiments are very fun, I have to say. Yeah. No one is doing stuff like this, and I love it. It's very intriguing to me.
I mean, apparently a lot of people are. They're just using them for weird stuff, like telling jokes that don't make sense.
Well, yeah, they're using them for, like, nefarious ulterior motives.
Yeah.
You're using it to, like, learn things about things.
About which I think the nature of...
The nature being of whatever, whatever. Yeah, I don't know what it is, but it's something. We're learning something off of this. I don't know what it is. You want to do another trivia?
Oh yeah, I forgot. This one is about politics, actually.
Oh, I love politics. Even
it's
though
my favorite.
Let me do Monty Hall.
Okay. The first country to introduce universal suffrage was. Is it A, New Zealand? Is it B, Australia? Is it C, Singapore? Or is it D, Egypt?
Universal suffrage. So that means everybody can vote. Mm-hmm. I would assume. It's interesting that no European countries are on here. Because they like to think that they're more cultured than everybody else.
Yeah, but they're not.
Look, they obviously are behind on this one. New Zealand, Australia, Singapore, and what was the other one?
Egypt.
Egypt. This is hard. This is going to sound not good.
There's not a good way to talk about this question ignorantly. No,
there's really not. I feel like it's not Egypt, but maybe it is. That sounds really bad. Doesn't that sound awful?
I agree that it
that it sounds bad, or you agree that it's not okay. Egypt?
If I didn't know the answer to this, how do I talk about this?
I don't know.
If you told me the answer was Egypt, I mean, I know what the answer is, but if you told me it was Egypt, I would be like, wow. Really? Are you sure?
I would immediately look it up and be like, I gotta fact check this real fast. That sounds horrible, but I don't know. God. God, man, I hope we don't have any Egyptians listening right now.
Can I tell you to what? Not Egypt. There, you get it. But
No, you can't do that. No. Don't do that.
Can I tell you what I was aiming for with Egypt? I was thinking, yes. Oh, maybe like ancient Egypt. They were really, you know, like.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't get that at all. But modern Egypt, yeah, I don't
Instead,
think...
Instead, you were like, let's make him look really racist on this show. If it's Egypt, I'm going to, like... I'm going to be really... I'm going to be embarrassed.
That's okay.
So it's not Egypt? Is that what you're
saying? No, it's not Egypt.
But see, now Monty Hall is like, I win, basically.
Yeah, if you choose Egypt. I mean, let's be serious. You knew it wasn't Egypt.
You know what? I'm not going to Monty Hall Egypt. Okay. I'm going to do something else. I'm going to Monty Hall. So New Zealand, Australia, or Singapore, right?
Yeah.
So I'm going to Monty Hall Singapore. And the reason I'm saying Singapore is because Singapore is more of a recent country. Like, it's not recent, but like it's recently, I think it's like 20th century is when it was established as an actual own nation.
Mm-hmm.
Because before that, it was controlled by China and the British Empire. So I'm saying Singapore because I think it's later to establish as a country, and I think other countries had probably already established universal suffrage by the time it made itself a country. So I'm locking in Singapore as my Monty Hall.
Okay. It's either New Zealand or Singapore.
Wow, New Zealand. Good for them. Yeah, I'm going to lock in New Zealand, final answer.
New Zealand is correct.
Yes. It wasn't Egypt.
No. It wasn't.
I liked what you were going for, like ancient Egypt. Like, oh, maybe they did do universal suffrage, yeah. But I did not go that way. My brain did not, like, yeah. Did not work that way at all. But that's fine. Oh, that's fine. I had a topic I wanted to bring up. It says there's no segue for this, like, at all, but
it's all good.
We're like around 50 minutes into the show, and this is the perfect time to talk about weird social stuff because you know me and you, we're good at talking to each other, not so good at talking to, I mean, I'm not going to speak for you, but I'm not a pro at you know, socialization as it were. So I had like a thought today, and the reason I had this thought is because someone was trying to talk to me, and it struck me as funny because this happens a lot to me, and I didn't realize it today, but it struck me more often. So like when I have a conversation with you, you know, we're talking and then the conversation naturally ends and then we go about our day or whatever. But
yeah.
Sometimes I feel like when I'm at work and there's a coworker who, you know, maybe them and I share a common interest or something. And it doesn't have to be at work, it could be anywhere. They'll come up to you and they'll start talking about that common interest that they know you like talking about. Like in this case it was some I don't need to share intimate details, but in this case, it was some piece of clothing on Amazon that had this character from this movie that we both liked, right?
Okay.
So it was like they were like, "Oh, look at this cool shirt. Should I buy it?" And I was like, "Oh, that's so cool! Like, you should totally get that. That seems like right up your alley, you know." And like the conversation topic was this shirt, but it was also this kind of like movie genre that we both enjoyed, right? So it's like kind of a natural thing, and like I didn't know what to do in this conversation. And what I mean by that is I'm like, when someone comes up to me with a conversation topic, I am thinking to myself like, all right, be nice. Like, I'm thinking to myself like a couple rules, right? Be nice. Tell them, you know, what you like. Be honest with them. Try to engage them. And then don't keep them too long in this conversation that they've initiated with you.
Yeah.
So like, I get to the point where I'm like, oh, yeah, that's cool. You should totally get it. And then, you know, there's a back and forth a little bit. 20 seconds. And then I'm at the point where I'm like evaluating whether or not I'm supposed to bring up some other topic of this conversation or I'm just supposed to leave it. So naturally, I just leave it because yes. I'm an awkward person. And then they're just like, okay, well, bye. And they walk away. And then they have like some other conversation with somebody else for like 20 minutes, right? And then I'm sitting there thinking like, am I supposed to bring something to the table here, and I have nothing to bring to the table.
Yeah.
And I realize, like, I'm bad at talking to people when I think they want to talk to me because I, like, don't have anything ready to go when people try to talk to me, like, ever. I'm always just responsive, you know, like, I'll respond, but, like, I have nothing prepared. And I feel like a lot of other people have, like, prepared stuff. Like, someone comes talks to you, to somebody, they'll be like, oh, yeah, blah, blah, blah. And then they'll be like, here's another thing, and another thing. And then I'm like, I can keep this conversation going for, like, an hour. It's like, okay, I don't know how to do that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It's weird because you're really good at it with me.
I am really good at it with you.
So I hate to like validate your suspicions, but the fact that they talk to the next person for 20 minutes means that you know that was supposed to be yours. Do you know what I mean? Like,
yes, I know what you mean.
You were choice number one to have a 20 minute conversation. That was their backup plan if talking to you went bad.
And it went bad.
Yes, it
let me
did.
Tell you. It didn't go bad. It just didn't go where they wanted it.
No,
to go.
It probably went bad. I'm sorry.
I was like, yeah, that's cool. All right. See you later. Which is effectively what the conversation ended up being like. Oh, that's real cool. All right. Okay, bye. You know, that's basically what I said in not so many words, right? But like, I don't know what to do. Like, it's so weird. Sometimes I'll talk to somebody with the intent of just having a little conversation. And then they'll have, like, all these things to, like, talk about.
Yeah.
Like, they'll have all these topics. And I'm thinking to myself, like, do these people just have, like, all these conversation topics, like, locked and loaded in their head at all times? You know what I mean? And, like, about anything so they can always just, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know how to do that. I don't know how to do that.
So what I do is, if someone comes up to me and says, hey, should I buy this? Let's just say it's a Star Wars shirt.
Sure. That's a great example.
Yeah. And I'll say, yeah, that's an awesome Star Wars shirt. I'll say something like, you know, I have 3 Star Wars shirts.
But I didn't have any of these shirts. So I'm not going to, like, lie and pretend like I already have that shirt, actually.
Oh, you don't have to lie. Really cool. So, I like to give people like different paths they can take in the conversation. Like I'll say something like
a choose your own adventure.
Yeah, I'll be like, you know, when I was little, the first time I watched Star Wars was on VHS with my mom. There's like 12 different things that they can choose from that.
But the important thing is you're not really like directing the conversation. You're kind of doing what I do is where I respond to things, but your response is like this open-ended like choose your own adventure book for them. Right?
You have to give them, like, okay, I'm capable of talking about these three things. You can pick one, or you can leave me alone. Like,
it's your call.
Yeah.
And where a mom just like, okay, yeah, cool, bye. Which is so sad, because it makes me seem like a guy that doesn't want to talk to people.
Yeah.
But I like talking to people. Like, when you were like, that was yours, and you missed it. Yeah. Like, I was like, oh, I like talking to people, like, especially, like, this person, like, I like them, like, I like talking to them, but I'm just bad at it, you know? I don't know what I'm doing most of the time. So I don't know.
Okay, next time this happens to you, just try what I do. Say the first thing that comes to your mind that's like a story related to what they said.
What if it has nothing to do with anything?
It doesn't matter. I do that all the time. Someone will come up to me.
I'm so bad at that, though.
Someone will come up to me and be like, hey, have you seen this movie? And I'll just say something stupid. Like, yeah, last night me and my sister went out for some beers and, you know, we had a good time. And,
and then if they really want to talk to you, like if they meant to come over and have a 20-minute conversation with you, they're going to go down that choose your own adventure path, aren't they? That's true. That's a good point. Because if they really care, if you do a non sequitur, they're going to keep talking to you.
Yeah.
But if you just block and turn away and like turn it off, then they're going to be like, oh, they don't want to talk to me.
Yeah, there's nowhere to go from there.
That's good. That's true. I think my problem is like,
you're afraid of presenting people like a rocky path to walk down, maybe. Yes.
I would rather just end the conversation and leave it on like a safe note than like present a weird thing. I'd rather be like, oh, that's cool, bye, than be like, how about this? And they're like, that's a weird thing to say. I don't know what to respond to that, you know?
Yeah.
Mm. You need to take the chance.
This makes me think. Yeah, I have one. There's a couple things that I'm really insecure about, and one of them is that I worry when I'm talking to people sometimes that I'm making them go to an uncomfortable place. Like,
yeah,
because I like to talk about weird stuff a lot, and I worry sometimes it's like, okay, you're talking to me, but I'm worried I'm going to take you to a conversation topic you don't want to go into.
You don't want to be in.
Yeah.
Or even worse, a conversation topic that if I say a lot about it, you're going to, like, judge me as a person about this topic.
And I can, like never fix.
And I had this like, happen to me today, actually. Because I was, like, on a walk with a few people. Like, we do a little 15-minute walk around the building. And I started talking about fate and determinism because I like that topic. I think it's cool.
Yeah.
I don't remember how I brought it up, but, like, I brought it up in a really dumb way. But I was talking about determinism, and I was like, do you believe in fate? Do you believe in fate? Do you believe in fate? And everyone was like, no, I don't believe in fate. I believe in free will. I'm like, what do you believe in? I'm like, I don't believe in free will at all. I think we're a very deterministic species, and we're just, you know, what's going to happen is going to happen. You know, very pessimistic outlook. You know how I feel about this kind of thing.
Yeah.
And, like, during the conversation, they keep asking me, like, is that really how you feel? Like, da da da. I was like, oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. And then we get to the point where we're talking about, like, the greater good and, like, would you sacrifice one person to save thousands or whatever? And I'd be like, I would save one person. I would sacrifice thousands of people to save one person that I cared about any day of the week. And, like, people looked at me funny. I was like, did I just ruin the friendship with all of these people at the same time? Like, maybe I did. I don't know. And then I got kind of self-conscious about that, like, immediately after the conversation ended.
Yeah.
Not during, but, like, immediately after. I was like, well, that might have been bad, you know?
Yeah. It's tough.
But, like, exactly what you're talking about.
It's tough because, like, these are the things that I think about all the time. And I know that not everybody thinks about that kind of stuff all the time. But, like, since I think about them all the time, I have, like, kind of – those are some of my best developed thoughts are about, like, really depressing, weighty things. No.
Like, weird things to talk about.
Yeah.
And you've thought about them more than the average person. So you might have a lot to say on it.
Yeah.
And other people might not have thought about it as much. And so when you say your things that you're saying, they might take it in a different way than you intended, simply because they aren't aware of all the things that you're aware of. You know, they haven't thought about it as much as you.
Yeah, not that I think I'm like a smart guy or anything.
No. But for this specific topic.
Yeah. One thing you can do is make jokes about stuff. That works really well. Like, you can talk about, like, you know,
I feel like I'm a robot and you're teaching me how to socialize with people.
You can talk about, like,
like, use this trick. Make a joke to the people.
That'd be such a Data thing. Like, he interrupts a conversation and they're talking about, like, death or determinism or something. And he, like, makes a terrible joke about death.
Why did the chicken cross the road? And they're like, why? He's like, well, he didn't. He got hit by a car.
And you're all going to die, too.
I would laugh at that
That's
joke.
That's hilarious.
Yeah, I mean, it is funny. All right. Do you want to do the last trivia question?
Yeah. Okay. There's no way you could possibly know this, but it leads to a fun tangent that I wanted to get to. So
I love it. Let's do it.
Here you go.
Okay.
Property developer Eduardo Mappoli Mazzi.
Okay, what?
Off to a good start.
Yeah.
Who is?
I don't know any of those words.
He's the fiance of some princess. Okay.
Okay. Great.
He co-founded a charity in Rwanda that aims to use blank to foster social change. So some princess's fiance, it doesn't matter, Eduardo
something or other, yeah. Monteblan Leblugan or whatever his name. Yeah.
He started a charity in Rwanda
okay.
that does this, and he wants to do help affect social change. Is it A, cricket?
Like the game?
Yes. Okay. Is it B, soccer?
Oh, they're all games.
Is it C, drag?
Drag like shows?
Yeah, drag like dressing okay. up as a gender that you're not. Yeah,
got it.
Yeah. Or D, esports.
I hope it's esports. Rwandan esports league would be amazing. Okay, so Eduardo, whatever the hell his name is, started a charity in Rwanda that's using this to spur social change
yeah.
in Rwanda,
yeah.
I assume, right? Cricket, soccer, drag, or esports?
Yes.
Oh, God. Okay, well, this is going to sound weird. I thought drag was kind of dumb at first. Like, not the concept, but as in this question.
Yeah.
But maybe they have, like, weird views of gender in Rwanda. And drag might allow them to have the discussion more openly and spur good social change in Rwanda, where, you know, it's more built on respect of people's choices and stuff like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And, you know, respect of, you know, other genders and how people identify, all that stuff. So, you know what I mean? Like, it could, like, drag is... I laughed when you said that at first. But that could be, like, that seems like the most socially relevant thing, actually, in a weird way.
Yeah.
You know,
that makes sense to me. Yeah.
For Rwanda. Soccer, like, I don't know how that, I mean, I guess soccer could be like a youth program kind of thing, you know, like teach kids values or whatever.
Yeah.
I don't know. Same with cricket. I have no idea how you spin esports into like a, in like a social, like, we're going to make change with StarCraft 2 tournaments or whatever. All right, I'm going to use 5 second Google.
Okay.
If I can.
I don't know how you're going to do that. Do it, but.
What's the guy's name? Really fast.
Eduardo Mappoli Mazzi.
Oh, my God. I feel like my 5 seconds is not going to even be able to spell that name.
He's the fiance of Princess
nope.
Beatrice.
I got it. I'm going to do Eduardo Mazzi Charity. Oh. It's a charity, right?
Yeah.
Okay. That's all I'm going to do. I'm ready whenever you are.
All right. Ready? 3, 2, 1. Google.
Eduardo Mazzi Charity. Shit.
Out of time.
Shit. I spelled it wrong. Can I scroll?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He's got a LinkedIn page.
Are you sure it's our Eduardo?
I don't know. I don't know if it's the same Eduardo. Airway management in premature infants. Like, I don't think that's it. Bucks raise money for pediatric cancer.
Prince Beatrice and her new love spotted together.
Okay, that's the right person.
That's him. But I can't click on the link. But it says, Prince Harry and Meghan Markle snap up broadcasters Christy Young to direct their Sussex Royal Foundation. That's all it says, though.
Yeah, it doesn't say what they do.
I bet if I clicked on this, I would be able to figure it out. God damn it. All right, I don't think it's esports. I'm going to go with drag. Final answer.
Okay, drag is incorrect, but I like where your mind was at.
Thank you. Is it soccer?
It's cricket, actually.
Ah, it's cricket. So what's the thing? Is it like a youth program or something?
I guess. I didn't look too far into it.
This sounds baloney to me. You know, it sounds like he's just doing it because, like, it's what rich people do. Like, here's a cricket charity, you know.
In reality, he just brought, like, 3 cricket bats to Rwanda and just, like, have at it.
He wanted Rwandans to play cricket while he watched cricket.
Yeah.
That's what happened. If I were him, I'd start a drag charity where they do things in drag, and then people of Rwanda, like, accept drag queens and kings as, like, socially acceptable, and then they have conversations about, you know, the 21st century, you know what I mean?
So, do you want to hear my awesome idea?
Yeah.
The one that this idea made me think of, or this question, rather. So, have you ever seen the movie Cool Runnings on Disney Channel?
Oh, yeah. I love that movie. So, about the bobsled team from Jamaica.
For anyone that doesn't know, it's a Disney Channel original movie about a Jamaican bobsled team, and they, like, win the Olympics or whatever after
and it's
a training
they
montage.
Don't win, but... Yeah.
I think Chris Farley is in it.
He's not.
Okay. Totally wrong about that. Sorry.
It's John Candy.
Okay, yeah.
Other fat guy that's funny. Anyway.
So my idea is Disney Channel needs to make a new original movie about the Rwandan esports team.
That's good. That's very 21st century.
It is.
Right? And so they have a guy. So you would need... So the premise of Cool Runnings is the main guy is like a track star.
Yeah.
And he tries to get to the Olympics, but he's not quite fast enough to be in the Olympics. But he still really wants to be in the Olympics. So he turns to bobsledding because it's a sport that the Jamaican team doesn't have.
Right.
So he does that. So Rwanda, we need something like that. So... Rwanda probably plays a lot of soccer. You know, they're probably really good at, like, I don't know. They probably have, like, soccer, and they probably have a lot of, like gymnastics and, like, track and field.
Yeah. Like any other country, like, normal sports.
Right. Exactly. So they do all the normal sports. And then, like, this guy is, like, really into trying it, and he, like, can't do it. And he, like, is like, all right, well, what's another thing I can do? And Blizzard is, like... really excited to get, like, all these other countries in, like, the Overwatch League or something, right? Like, really into it. And then he, like, sees, like, an ad, like, under the Olympic sign, because obviously they would just advertise right underneath the Olympic sign.
Yeah.
And he's like, maybe I can do that. Maybe I can be an Overwatch champion or something like that.
I think that's a really good idea.
And so he goes to one of the old retired pros, Overwatch pro, that now lives in Rwanda after being disgraced from Blizzard from a cheating scandal or something like that.
Yeah.
Like, he like, threw games or something.
Yeah,
in Overwatch
match
League.
Fixing or
and
something.
He's disgraced. And he's like, teach me all there is to know about Overwatch. And he's like, well, you're going to need a team. And he's like, I can get you a team. and they assemble the Rwandan Overwatch team. And it, like, they win the, like, Overwatch League or whatever. I don't know how it works.
I'm imagining the main character is like in Cool Runnings, like you said. Like, he was trying to get into the regular Olympics for soccer.
But he just couldn't.
But, like, he injured himself or something. And now he can't run.
He broke his leg.
Yeah.
You know? Or, like, something with his knee that, like, prevented him from doing, like, most any sport.
Yeah, except for esports.
Right, exactly.
So he gets together with the former Overwatch player that now lives in Rwanda because he was so estranged from the community.
Yes.
And he has to assemble a team. And I think, like, the team assembling would be the most hilarious part of the movie.
Oh, yeah.
Because, like, there would be, like, a guy they found at the bus stop. And, like...
Yes. Like, do you know how to play Overwatch? And he's like, I don't know.
Yeah.
Sure. They would also find... All right, so bus stop guy who maybe he's really good. They need, like, everyone needs their own quality, right? Okay. So guy that starts the team is, like, the leader. Like, he's just really driven, passionate. He's the leader. Bus stop guy, he needs to be really good at, like, Twitch stuff. Like, he can, like, catch pigeons on the street.
And eat them because that's how he survives.
With his bare hands. And then, like, the main guy, we'll call him, you know, Joe or whatever. Yeah. He finds him and he's like, wow, you're really fast. Like, be on our Overwatch. You want to be on our Overwatch team? He's like, yes, I'll do it. And then you got to have, like, a guy that's, like, he's kind of the weirdo, but you got to have another weirdo where it's like, this guy's like an old arcade repairman or something like that.
Okay.
So it's like, you know, like in Rwanda, all their arcade games are from like the 80s. And this guy goes around and like fixes them up.
Yeah.
And he's good at like technology and stuff.
Maybe he works at like an ice skating rink arcade combo.
Yes.
And when the main character and the bus stop guy are ice skating to like undo steam, they see this guy in the corner who's just like...
No, ice skating is part of the Overwatch training. Yes. Like, the guy, the American guy that lives in Rwanda, he's like, first thing you need to know about Overwatch is how to move gracefully. And then he, like, takes them to the ice skating.
Yeah. And they see a guy, like, playing skee ball really good.
Yeah. Or, like, Pac-Man or something. I don't know. And they're like, he's our guy. He's another guy. And then the last guy you need, because, oh, well, how many people do you need in
Overwatch?
You need a lot more. You need five? Yeah. I was only going to do four. Whatever, it's fine. So you need like a big buff guy.
Yeah, you need a fat, funny guy. That's a rule.
You need a big, and a big, well, so is that the same as the big buff guy, or is that separate?
I think the fat guy needs to play the tank, because that's okay. Like the rules.
So maybe the fat guy, okay, he's a gamer, but he doesn't play Overwatch. But they convince him to change whatever he plays into Overwatch. Mm-hmm. Because they need him for the Rwanda team. So, like, what does he play? Like, he's a fat guy. He sits on his couch and plays Call of Duty all day.
StarCraft.
StarCraft, yeah. Sure. And they're like, we really need you for Overwatch. And he's like, I don't play Overwatch.
It's beneath me.
We need you. No one else is going to do it. And maybe this guy, because this is a plot of Cool Runnings. One of the guys wanted to be in the Olympics as well, but he just never got able to do it. So he's on, like, the minor leagues or whatever. Yeah. So, like, this guy would be, like, he wanted to be Star Trek pro or StarCraft pro, and he just never could do it. So he, like, plays it as, like, almost as, like, a pool kind of thing. Like, a like he just takes people's
money. Oh, he's a hustler.
And, like,
yeah.
Money. He's a hustler. He's a StarCraft hustler. And so they convince him, like, oh, you have a chance in the Overwatch League. And he's like, all right. So that's how they get him. And then they still need a fifth guy. I don't know who the fifth guy could be. Maybe they can bring back the American, their coach. Like, he's their fifth player. Yeah. Like, they're like, just come back on the team.
He's their healer. That's their mercy.
Yes. Overwatch Rwanda. I mean, I would watch that movie. I think it'd be fun.
I would watch the hell out of that. That sounds fun.
You had a really funny training montage. You know, them ice skating and them like, ooh. There's one where they're ice skating while they're on their laptops playing Overwatch. Like, they're strapped to them, their chests, and they're playing Overwatch while ice skating. Because it, like, builds focus. You know what I mean?
You can get Razer to sponsor the movie, and there's, like, a really blatant advertising scene where... So, you know, in Cool Runnings, the coach gets them, like, a brand new bobsled, and everybody cries, and it's really emotional?
Yeah.
In this one, the coach gets them all Razer mice the day before the tournament, and they're all, like, super emotional, like, I can't believe you got us a gaming
mouse. We've got to talk about this, because in Cool Runnings, they have, like, the shittiest bobsled in the world. Yeah. Like, it's like old piece of trash. So in Overwatch, to train, since they're like poor people from Rwanda, they're using like 1990s like giant tower computers, like the gray ones. And somehow Overwatch is running on them. The nerdy arcade guy has fixed them all up so that they can like run Overwatch on like the minor, like the lowest settings. Yeah. And they're playing all on that, you know, to train. And, like, the day before the tournament, he doesn't give them new computers because that's too expensive. But he's just like, here's a Razer mouse, like a Razer Adder pro mouse or whatever. And they're all like, oh my God, you know. And they feel, and they have their like Rwanda flag on it or something, you know. And they're like, oh man, you know.
That sounds so funny.
It's a good idea for a movie. Do you want to do one right up before we're done with the show?
Sure.
Okay, I got to pick one out of one of these five. Oh, these are all good. Oh, this is good. What has a fictional character said that will stick with you? So, quote from a fictional character from a TV show, movie, whatever, that you like remember, like a quote rings in your head.
First one that comes to mind is To Infinity and Beyond. That's a good one.
By Buzz Lightyear. That's a good quote. And it's important. The first one on Reddit, it's funny because we were talking about this too, is from Picard, and it says, it is possible to commit no mistakes and still lose. That is not weakness, that is life. And that is a deep quote.
Yeah, that is deep.
Sometimes you got to just accept that how it is. And this is why Star Trek is such a wholesome show, because it like teaches you about life too, as well.
I know we're out of time, a cool show about space. This is something we've talked about before, and like, basically, my whole worldview is like Picard quotes and Bob Ross quotes, like stitched together in the loose framework.
You know, that's a pretty good framework, I feel like. I feel like I have no, like, most people would not take any issue because they're both really good people. One is fictional, one is not, but you know, like, I think that's a noble framework to have, honestly. I don't know what my framework is, but. It's Woody from Toy Story 1.
That's fine. I love Woody.
Is it fine? I don't think it's fine. What else do we have? What is the most useless item you carry with you at all times? That's good. I don't really carry anything useless. Everything I have has a
problem. Cell phone. I hate them.
Ooh, that was edgy. That's a dark, edgy way to end the show right there. The cell phone is the most useless item I carry. Who's our sponsor today, Bats Next?
Our sponsor today is... Can I say Razer? No one listens to this podcast anyway. Yes,
absolutely you can say Razer. The new Razer Rwandan adder.
God. Oh, no. The Rwandan adder took my family.
Oh, God. I was going to say edit that out, but keep it. No one will listen this far. When you're feeling kind of sleepy, I don't know what rhymes with sleepy. There's nothing.
Don't feel too weepy, I guess.
Weep? Oh, good. Good night, everyone. Drive safely, bye. And thank you for listening. Bye.